Jesus to hear us when we pray, giving us the comfort we need. We would be so helpless, we'd falter by the way, if we had no Jesus to lead. If we had no Jesus to lead us every day, by the cooling waters to feed. For us would vanish, there'd be no use to pray, if we had no Jesus to lead. If we had no Jesus to save us in the end, and for us in heaven to plead, sad would be our portion up there without a friend, if we had no Jesus to lead. Hope for us would vanish, there'd be no use to pray, if we had no Jesus to lead.
Greetings, radio friends. Again, we bring you a message from the Word of God. This is Elder Casey Walker speaking, minister of the Church of God, Seventh Day. I'd like to bring you a message pertaining to the signs of our times, and especially what the Bible might call the battle of the great day of God Almighty. In dealing with this subject, we want to point out the conditions of the world today as they're shaping up for this great conflict to end conflicts. There is nothing more yearning in the hearts of man today than for peace. Yet it seems like every effort that is put forth brings us near the brink of war and disaster. So in dealing with this subject, we want to remind you that the great subject that we have dealt with in the past pertaining to the three unclean spirits of Revelation chapter 16 are fast doing their dirty work to bring the nations to the battle of the great day of God Almighty, at which time the human conflict will be settled, not on man's terms, but on the eternal's term, on the terms of the eternal God. We find today that Israel is in the center of being threatened of annihilation. We find that the Bible tells us in Zechariah, the 12th chapter, in the first three verses, that the time would come when Jerusalem would become a burdensome stone for all people. The Bible says, all that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all nations of the earth be gathered together against it. We find that Israel sprang into being as a nation in 1948 after years of conflict. It was once part of Palestine, the Holy Land of the Bible. It's a little smaller than the state of New Jersey, but it has more than 1 million people, new settlers pour in, making it one of the fastest growing nations in the world. Past Palestine, the ancient home of the Jewish people, was put in charge of Great Britain after World War I as a League of Nations mandate. Britain promised once more to make it a Jewish homeland, but the Muslim Arabs who have lived there for hundreds of years objected. Britain tried many plans to get the Jews and Arabs to live in peace. Then Hitler came into power in Germany. In lands controlled by the Nazis, 6 million Jews were killed or tortured. Thousands fled to Palestine. The Arabs saw their sleepy old land being changed by the modern ideas of the newcomers. Fierce fighting broke out. At last, Britain turned the problem over to the UN. The small country was divided into two, one for the Jews, one for the Arabs. Much of little Israel is dry and barren desert. Its people are working near miracles in irrigation. They're planting forests in the land to hold water. They're planning water power projects from the Dead Sea, 4 times as salt as the ocean. They are taking potash and other materials. Glasswork, soap factories, and many industries are springing up there in that part of the world. But now we find that they are in serious trouble. As a six Arab leagues, we find that these seven nations are leaguing together to, if possible, destroy the nation of Israel. As I mentioned a few moments ago, God said that this would happen that Jerusalem would become a burdensome stone to all people. All that burden himself with it shall be cut in pieces, though all nations of the earth be gathered together against it. Now we find that God has foretold that the Jewish people will be in the very center of the last conflict of this age. Joel 3 in the first three verses tells us, "Behold, in those days and at that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. I will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land." The Valley of Jehoshaphat is a little valley between the city of Jerusalem and the Mount of Olives. God said he will gather all nations against Jerusalem at that time when Judah is brought back from their captivity. We find Zechariah 14 points to this great conflict against Jerusalem to battle, which all nations will be gathered. Ezekiel 38 and verse 8 gives us a similar picture, which in time when God returns the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, all nations will be stirred up against them and will come into that area to settle the conflict. Revelation 16 and verse 16 tells us at this same time that there will be evil forces or ideologies, ungodly forces, which will go forth to the kings of the earth and to the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Therefore, the gathering of the nations to eventually assemble in Palestine to try to annihilate the Jewish people will be the time that God will have to miraculously step in defense of his people, not for their righteousness, but rather for his namesake. Because at that time, God alone shall be exalted. We find in this conflict that actually it is the climaxing conflict of the ages in which God is to settle the human problem, and it will be settled in that part of the world. There will be no nation left out, because every nation on the face of the earth is to come under the judgments of God. Even the Western world itself, who have fallen so deep in iniquity and sin, while at the same time making such a profession of religion or Christianity, will have to come in for their part of this judgment and punishment because of sin. The fact is, every nation on the face of the earth with its societies that are contrary to the kingdom of God will have to crumble and fall. And the pressures of our times under the gathering cloud of universal destruction is creating such pressures, economic, political, and religious, until it has taken the world into a deep state of confusion and uncertainty. Certainly we can see that things are very uncertain, even for us as a nation. We're deeply involved all over the world. And of course, the world is basically divided between two great armed camps who are equipped with the most destructive, devastating weapons that the world has ever known. And in the face of insane man today, it is likely that these things will be used, maybe on a wholesale scale. Even those of our own nation who are leaders are fearful of what could happen if a nuclear war was to break out. Now, literally millions of people's lives could be snuffed out overnight. That is a very possibility and probably will happen sometime. When we even look back to 1945, when these weapons were used in their infancy, when almost 200,000 lives were snuffed out with one bomb, then we see the improvement of them today and their destructiveness. Then it is an awful thing, yes, when we think of what now could take place. No doubt that is why that man who knows the terribleness of the things that are now in his hand are striving desperately to stay such a war. We can see why he is doing this, because he is aware of now what is facing the human family. We find the only alternative, naturally, is for man to return to God, to really repent, to really humble himself, and seek the face of God and turn from his wicked ways. However, the Bible tells us that he will not do this. Zephaniah tells us in the first chapter, in verse 19 and 20, "I will bring distress upon men, that they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out as the dust, their flesh as the dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath." The place of the battle of the great day of God Almighty, Jerusalem, is the center of this conflict. but it will take in all of Palestine. We find in Revelation 16 it speaks of Armageddon, a place called Armageddon, which is north of Jerusalem and a little west, about 70 miles. We find that Joel speaks of the valley of Jehoshaphat. We find that Zechariah 14:1 speaks of Jerusalem itself as the very center of the conflict. We find that Isaiah 34 in the first 10 verses speaks of south of Jerusalem in this conflict. So when you put it all together, you can see that the entirety of the land of Palestine is to be the last great battlefield of the age. No doubt, of course, there will be great fightings in other parts of the world, but this is the climaxing place of this conflict in which all nations are to be gathered. And we find the result of this conflict described in various places in the Bible. Jeremiah 25, verse 32 tells us, "Behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the coast of the earth. And the slain of the Lord shall be in that day one in the earth, even unto the other. They shall not be lamented, neither gathered nor buried. They shall be dung upon the ground." We find there are places in the world today, even in riots, that people's bodies are left as dung upon the ground for days, even until the vultures feed upon them. But here we find is a universal picture, seemingly, in which the plague is to be so great until apparently the dead will not be buried in a normal way. It's a terrible thing indeed to even think of such, but man's sins has brought him to the brink of this very thing. The Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, that God is long-suffering to usward. He describes his long-suffering as in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing. Now we find the plagues that are actually taking place already in the world. They are some of the last warnings to mankind to prepare to meet thy God, telling us that the end of this age is upon us and that the battle of the great day of God Almighty is about to become a reality, which in its effect and its influence and its pressures will bring naught to all human societies. It is too bad that man has to get so far from God that these things come about. But that's exactly what we see shaping up in the world today. The wise man tells us in a proverb, "When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him." Today we must recognize the fact that we as a nation are not at peace with our enemies. This tells us that something is seriously wrong at home. As we view the Gog of the North, Russia, as a creeping paralysis, gradually taking over nation after nation, and her influence is growing throughout the Middle East, it is time that the West is awakening as never before, because only the Almighty God can preserve us in the West. For Israel fell because they continued to flirt with the ways of the world, claiming at the same time to be the children of God. Remember, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. This is true with a nation. Oh yes, we still have good people in the nation, and we have no doubt those in the leadership that are sincerely trying to bring us out of the state of chaos. But dear ones, they must have the backing of the true morals of righteousness in the lives of the citizens of this country to be effective. And so it is everyone's responsibility to cry out to God, to return to God, and to live and uphold the eternal principles that preserves a people. So if you'd like to have copies of this study, The Battle of the Great Day of God Almighty, it'll be sent to you free upon request. The announcer will give you our mailing address. Until next time, the Lord bless is my prayer.